Only one verse here in Hebrews 11 is mentioned, and just a couple of things. But take a look at it. Verse number 7, here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The phrase we want to consider is the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. One day a man heard that his distant uncle had passed away. A short time later, a package arrived that contained his inheritance from the estate, a violin and a painting. He decided to take them to an appraiser, and the appraiser said, "I've got some good news. There's no doubt that what you have here is a genuine Van Gogh and a genuine Stradivarius." The man was elated. "I can sell these for millions," he said. The appraiser says, "Well, you can sell them, but they'll not fetch some money. They'll fetch some money, but only for their novelty value, not millions. You see, Stradivarius wasn't much of a painter, and Van Gogh made a lousy violin." I think he was thinking opposite, of course. Inheritance. The Bible says that Noah was an heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. He became. Interesting that the word put there, became. Wasn't born, but he became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. So tonight I want to discover, or should say, examine the question, are you an heir of the righteousness by faith? This is something that, you know, of course, throughout the book of Hebrews and here in chapter 11, these are particular things and testimonies of people. But God certainly wants us to consider their testimony. What can I do to honor the Lord in faith? And this is an interesting one. I trust it'll be a help to us. We're going to look at, are you an heir of the righteousness by faith? Heavenly Father, we ask your help tonight. We ask God your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move and to speak to the heart, Lord, tonight. Lord, that we might see what you see and where our heart is, Lord. If we need Christ as Savior, that this would be the day. The day's not over. There's still a great time to call on Christ. But if we have, Lord, and we're born again this evening, Lord, how can we increase and grow in our faith? That is something that we need to learn about you tonight, Lord, and I pray you would help us as we look through Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you an heir of the righteousness which is by faith? Let's go to Genesis chapter 5. We're going to look in chapter 4 and 5 a lot tonight. We want to start there in chapter number 5 and read through a few names here. Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse number 1. And here's what the Bible says. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Here's a question for us as we consider this evening. What heritage are we building? What heritage are we building? The Bible says very clearly the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, but it is a story about, it is the history, I should say, about the family of Adam. That's what God's word tells us. This is the book of the generations of Adam, and he begins here to tell us about who begat who, etc. There is an importance in the begats. You know, there's an importance in who was the one that begat so-and-so and so-and-so. We want to continue on here in Genesis chapter 5. So it chronicles the family of Adam. Look at verse number 2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters. Hold on. We're missing some names here, aren't we? Who are we missing? Not Eve. Cain and Abel. They're not in this. Wait a minute. What's going on? Well, let's consider that for just a moment. You know, Genesis, the story focuses on one line of Adam and the other it does not. In fact, It does explain it in just a little bit, and we'll see that in just a moment. But Genesis focuses on the specific line through Seth. That was God's chosen line. Now, would that have changed if Abel was still alive? Well, we don't know, obviously. But God chose the line of Seth to continue his seed in mankind. Genesis reveals the physical effects of the sin that Adam and Eve committed. If we go to chapter number 2, let's take a look, because the Bible says they were born and then he died, etc. Chapter 2, verse number 17. And the Bible says, let me start with verse 15. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. If you're a parent here tonight, have you ever told your child, maybe when they were young, you can touch anything you want, but don't touch this? How many know what I'm talking about? You can do this, anything you want, but don't do this. And that is what I imagine the conversation was like with Adam and Eve. You can eat any fruit, anything. And we have no idea how many trees of fruit there were. I presume there was quite a few, but just not this one. And what's the one the Bible declares that they did? You know, in fact, the Bible doesn't say they ate of any others. I don't know if they did or not, but the one that does say that they did is the one that God said not to. Disobedience was the sin that plunged mankind into death. And the Bible tells us very clearly that that sin and its effects are revealed right here at the beginning of the Bible. You know, sometimes when we talk to folks, you know, we share about here, you need to read the Bible. We need to tell them where to start, though. That would be helpful, don't you think? If we told them, start in the book of Leviticus. Do you think? Now, Jesus is in there, I believe, a picture of him. But do you think they would see him that clearly in Leviticus? I have friends who used to tell me the way we start by sharing with someone about Christ, we start right from the beginning, right in the very beginning. Because it has to show that mankind is the one who plunged himself into sin, yes. Not God. We can't blame God. We can't even blame our parents for that, actually. But God says it came because of man's disobedience. Would you go to 1 Corinthians 15? Those effects are still working hard today. 1 Corinthians 15, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look with me at verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What's the difference between Adam and Christ? The biggest difference? One is man. One is God. That's the difference. And God himself, he does not sin. He did not sin. Didn't sin in eternity past, and he won't sin in eternity future. And while he was on earth, he was sinless. He's the one where we find our life. But still today, death still reigns on the earth. God's judgment of sin continues today. The worst sin, is simply rejecting what Jesus did for us. The worst thing that a person could do is to hear of Christ and know there's accountability and just do nothing. Do nothing. It's not murder, which would be terrible. It's not stealing or saying bad words or, you know, even whatever. Sin in its character has its own consequences, but the sin that would be the worst for us to do would be to do nothing about Jesus, not trust in him. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, this is why we need to tell others about the Lord. This is why. We need to get the word out about Jesus, that he saves people's souls. It's not a joke. It's not some side note, on somebody's speech. It should be the main message we share, why we gather together to encourage one another to share the gospel with others, whether it's through conversation, printed page, however we get it out there, get it out there. Amen? Get it out there. Turn with me, if you would, James chapter 1. Now, that would be the worst, but the others aren't any more helpful. James chapter 1. Let's go there. Take a look. Verse number 13. I'm in James chapter 1. Now, if we know that sin carries with it the very fact that we are inheritors of sin nature, and it carries with it the curse of death, let me ask you to consider, what is he talking about here in James chapter 1? Verse number 13, let's read it together, actually, 13, 14, and 15. Let's read it together, please. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now let me ask you this. Is the temptation the act of sin, according to these verses? According to these verses, that's not the act of sin. But it is the act of decision. It is the time of decision. Will I choose evil, or will I choose to turn to God? Will I choose what God says, or will I choose otherwise? This is not about the curse of death on mankind simply for having the nature of sin. This is about the actions that we have and the consequences of it. He says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So what kind of death is he talking about? Is he talking about physically losing our life? I think that's a possibility. But I think moreover, more importantly, is the broken fellowship we have with God. As a Christian, I will have eternal life because of Jesus, not because of me. Simply what he did on the cross. But I can break my fellowship with God when I choose to do what I want instead of what he wants. And this is James's warning to those who know Christ, and he's giving a general, of course, general truth, but sin has its consequences. Sometimes you can see sin on people's face, can't you? You can see it in their bodies. But the truth of the matter is, if you've grown up in a Christian home like I did, and you were confronted about your need for Christ like I was, and maybe as a young person, not everybody here maybe had that when they were younger, but as a young person, I received Christ. And I don't have a ton of alcohol and drug use and all that in my history. But I do have sin. I do have sin. I do have a desire. I do have actions that I've committed that were against God's law and against God's plan for me and for all of us. And I have to answer to God for those. If I continue and choose not to answer to the Lord. By the way, how do we answer to God for our sin? 1 John 1:9. Would you say it with me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does forgiveness mean? Written off. Totally gone, totally as far as the east is to the west, as the Bible tells us. And yet God's judgment of sin continues today. I'll still have to deal with the curse of sin, but I don't have to deal with broken fellowship from God. He says we can get right with him. What heritage are we building today? And secondly, are we calling on the Lord today? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. Chapter 4, that's where we want to go. Now, if you do the math, and I did this a while back, so roughly about 1,000 years, a little over 1,000 years from the time that the Bible says Adam was created to the time that Noah was born. 1,000 years, and that seems like a very small amount of time when you consider how old these people were, right? But if we took 1,000 years today, would that be a long time to us? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. How long would it take for a nation to rebel against God in 2026? I don't think it would take 1,000 years, would you? I don't think it would take that long. And yet here we are. We're in need of God's help. But in that amount of time, we see some of the generations, some of the inheritors, I should say, that are before Noah, and they describe, even their names kind of describe the time that they lived. Let's start here in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, he hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Are we calling on the Lord today? The Bible says this wasn't, now listen, this wasn't right before Noah. Isn't that interesting? This wasn't when the time the Bible says that man's thoughts were evil continually. This was right after Seth got his family going and this young man, Enos, and wanted to see God work in the lives of people on earth at the time. I think that's very interesting because the world had not gotten to its worst yet, but here they were. Maybe the story of Cain and Abel had gotten to Enos. Maybe whatever Adam was telling his grandson, this is how things turned out. And man, I wish God was, we were more close to the Lord more than we have been, etc. But it's interesting that throughout Genesis, this is one of the few times it ever talks about man calling upon the Lord. Certainly at the beginning part. These names, they describe man's relationship to God at the time. So let's think about this. Let's go to chapter 5. This is the book of the generations. He talks about Adam there. Adam, his name means made from red earth. That's what they tell us. Made from earth, and it simply is the beginning. Seth, his son, means substitute or substituted. He was the seed that God chose through him, through Seth's line, that the Savior would come. Look at verse number 25 again here in Genesis chapter 4. Seth, here's what Adam said. Eve said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So through Seth. And this was important to his mom, right? She was wondering, did we mess up everything already? Do we have somebody who can pay for the sin and the line through it? And God certainly took care of that. No problem. Again, Enos means man, mortal, frail. It says that he, in chapter 4, verse 26, was the one. At that time in the world, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And this is a time of revival on earth. This is a time when people began to look to God and say, we need you more than we have before. We need you more and we want to live for you. Let's go to chapter number 5. We'll pick up the lineage there in verse number 9. Verse number 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 850 years and begat sons and daughters and etc. Canaan, the word Canaan, or I should say the name Canaan, means possessor, one who would take control or possessor. Now, is this where man began to turn away from God? It's not mentioned specifically, but certainly could be something in mind. Then he goes on. Let's take a look. Verse number 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalaleel. How's that? Mahalaleel. And Cain lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. Mahalaleel, praise of God, praise of God. Then what happened after him? In the days of Canaan were verse 16. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. Jared, the father of Enoch, means descent, or turning away, a turning away. Most believe this was around that time when things began to go the wrong direction in men's lives. They were calling upon the Lord just a couple generations before, but now they begin to look elsewhere, turning away from God. Enoch, we looked at a few weeks ago. Here the Bible talks about him. Take a look at verse number 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We get a little bit more information on him again in Hebrews 11. We're looking at verse number 5. Again, we looked at Enoch before just a few weeks ago, so we won't spend a lot of time on him. But as the rest of the world seemed to be turning away, the Bible tells us that Enoch came along and still tried to preach the word of God, or preach, I should say, the world to turn to God. Take a look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him before his translation. He had this testimony, that he pleased God. What did it say in Genesis about him? It says that he walked with God. He walked with God. Are we calling on the Lord? What kind of heritage are we building here? Let's go back to Genesis. All these begets, they have purpose. They have meaning for us to consider tonight. The Bible tells us that Enoch was removed bodily. He prophesied of the second coming of Christ. He prophesied that a Savior would come and that the world should look to God. But unfortunately, did in general the world do that? No, they didn't. And that brings us to the next few verses here. Take a look. Oh, I'm in chapter 4. That's why it doesn't look familiar. Oh, here we go. verse number 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Methuselah means it shall be sent. It shall be sent. Enoch, when he began to raise children, apparently he named his children with the importance of, listen, remember what the Lord's going to do. The judgment is on its way if we don't turn to him. Lamech means conqueror. Methuselah lived, verse 26, after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. He was the last one in this list to have died by natural causes. The rest of them died how? When the flood came. The judgment came. Let's read on. And he called his name, and Lamech, verse 28, lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah, the name means rest, preserved in God's care. Chapter 6, take a look at verse 7 and verse 8. The difference in Noah and the rest of the world is found here. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Actually, Lamech was the last one in that chapter who died of natural causes. Noah now begins this time when God's judgment was coming and would come. But he was a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And why? We find the answer in Hebrews 11. You want to go back there and take a look at verse number 7 again? Notice what it says here in verse 7 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what?
Fear.
Fear. There should be a fear about the consequences of sin. About the consequences of something that has danger or perhaps even a long-term effect in our life. Why do we not walk on the edge of a cliff? Or I should say you shouldn't. Because you fear what's at the bottom of the cliff, right? You fear what's at the bottom. Why do you stay on the right side of the road when you're driving? Because you fear the other person on the other side might hit you or you hit them. But here the fear was, I want to honor what God told me to do. He says he was warned of God of the things not seen. Nobody had seen the rain before. Nobody had built a big ark like this, a boat like that. Nobody had done that in the history of mankind yet. And yet he believed God's word, and by faith and by fear, he obeyed. Yes. Then it says, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Godly lives are possible even in dark days. Even in dark days. There's some positive things going on, I think, in the world today, don't you think? Of course there are. We should not poo-poo the things that God's doing in people's lives. But certainly God sees the sin as well as we can, if not more so. But the question is not so much how are we going to change the world? How are we going to influence those that God's put us in our lives, that we've put in their lives as well? Godly lives are possible, even in dark days. What happened to Cain's line? Genesis chapter 4. Take a look. Genesis chapter 4. Look at verse 16. We looked at Cain last week. Would you read that verse with me? Verse 16, we're in Genesis 4. Let's read it together. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. I imagine it's not easy to go out of the presence of the Lord. But Cain chose to do that. Now he had consequences of his sin that he was going to deal with no matter where he went. But instead of striving to be close to God, what did he do? He went out from the presence of the Lord. And his line followed him. He had children as well, the Bible tells us. He had a place and a family, and yet God tells us he chose to go opposite. Seth's line called upon the Lord. Again, verse 26 in chapter 4, you saw it there about Seth, and he called his name Enos, or I should say Seth's son. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Which side, which family would you want to be a part of? The ones who turn away from the Lord or the ones who call upon the Lord? Now, to be fair, you don't get to choose your family. But you can choose whether you're part of God's family or not. In fact, that's the only way you get to be in his family, is if you receive what Jesus did. In Jesus, God gives a new name that we may call upon the Lord and be a joint heir with him. Would you go to Isaiah 62, please? Isaiah 62, and look at verse number 2. Let me start with verse 1, actually, verse number 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. God brought his righteousness and salvation, of course, through the line of Seth in the land of Israel. But because of him, all Gentiles can receive this wonderful salvation. Is that a wonderful thing?
Yes.
I'm glad we don't have to go to Israel to ask God to save us, to go to the place where the temple, you know, traditionally was, or whatever they say. No, God says it's a new eternal life, a spiritual life that will become physical as well. In Jesus, God gives a new name that we can call upon him. Noah was moved to put faith in God, fear of sin's consequences, and faith in the Savior to come. They can move us from being lost to being found. Would you go to Romans chapter 8, please? Romans chapter 8. Now, if you receive Christ as Savior, which as I look around, most of you have a testimony of that, as I see. But still, we need the righteousness of Christ in our life today. Amen. We still need to live the righteous life. As the Bible told us in James chapter 1, that a broken fellowship or death, or how the Bible describes it, has terrible consequences with our sin. And yet God says, if you come to me, confess, seek forgiveness, now live in me, live with Christ in you, you can have a righteous life. Take a look in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. And let's read these together. Shall we? Righteousness of Christ is possible when we choose to live by faith in his power through us. Let's read those together. 15, 16, 17. Let's read them here. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Do you know Christ is your Savior tonight? God says he desires to live through you. And he doesn't do it without your permission.
Right.
He doesn't do it unless you surrender to him. Here it talks about receiving, how as we receive Christ, we receive the Spirit as well of adoption, and then we can thereby call the Heavenly Father our Father. Been interesting to have grandchildren. Wow. And I love that little guy. I was going to say Leland. I love him too. Landon is just now beginning to say things that we think he's saying, right? We think he's saying. And it seems like the easiest thing he can say is what? Isaac, Abigail? Da. It sure sounds like Dad. He has no idea who Dad is, probably. He's that big guy. And there's Mom. She's the nice person to me, so. And there's others. But it's interesting how God put it here in Romans that we can call out to God, Abba, Abba. And if you're around little kids, you know, Abba seems to be the easiest thing for them to get out their mouth. And yet, why is it so far between the times that we actually call upon the Lord? I'm not talking about praying over the food and asking the Lord's blessing for things. I'm talking about really getting with God and earnestly praying, as the Bible says. In a few weeks, we're going to do that in some various homes. But you know, we don't have to wait till then.
That's right.
We can do it on our own with the Lord. Jesus said, get in your closet and talk to me. And God says he wants you and I to leave that kind of a heritage. What's your heritage that you're leaving behind? What are we building? God says we can be heirs of the righteousness by faith. Do you know the Lord today?
Yeah.
Will you live by faith, as he says, and not by sight? Heavenly Father, help us to follow these testimonies, these examples, Lord. But most of all, of course, your word tells us we can have a better life if we live by faith.
Yes.
So I ask, dear God, help us to see what you see. What does that mean in a practical way? Are there decisions that we haven't made, we've chosen to put aside, instead of letting you handle or whatever? Father, that our time with you, our fellowship with you, if there's a brokenness right now between that, Lord, that can be mended tonight. I pray you'd help us to see what you see. May you get the glory. Perhaps there's a soul that needs Christ as Savior, Lord, with us tonight. You know the hearts. None of us know each other's heart, other soul, but you do. I pray tonight would be the night of salvation for someone, if that's the need, even tonight. We ask you'd get the glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me as we close? If you're able, would you stand? If God's speaking to you tonight, maybe you just simply have a burden you want to bring before him. This is a great time to do that too, to call on the Lord. Would you do that as we have a moment of invitation? I'm going to ask the piano to softly play the song. We'll sing in just a bit. But when she begins to play, would you respond? Call on the Lord. What kind of heritage are we leaving? God, help us to be that person that you have planned for us to be so that others can grow from it as well. As she begins to play, would you respond?